Let's go to Galatians 3, third chapter, book of Galatians. And I believe we have a couple of young ladies coming to sing for us tonight. And so they'll enjoy that. And then we'll get on to the lesson. If I can hear you, it'll be all right. So. That tonight. Now, like I said last Wednesday, I don't want to get bogged down here in these verses in Galatians 3. And so, like last week, I want to basically teach tonight for one reason, just one truth, one purpose. Last week, the one truth or one purpose was that, you know, we all need to be thankful and really appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ left heaven and came to this earth and went to the cross and died so that we could be saved, because the only other way for us to assimilate the righteousness of God is if we are able to practice unbroken and uninterrupted obedience to the law. And there's nobody that can do that. So unless you can practice unbroken, uninterrupted obedience to the law, you're going to fall short of the righteousness of God, unless, of course, Jesus came to our rescue. Amen? And that's what He did. Now, tonight I have one other truth that I want to bring to you, and then we're going to be done with chapter 3 and move on to chapter 4. But I think this has the potential to be a help tonight to some folks. And so let me just, we'll get to it. Let's pray together. Lord, we're glad to be in this book, and we could really get down here into some deep things back to the Old Testament and Abraham and so forth. And Lord, there's a lot of richness here that we probably won't mine out tonight. But I pray that You will help us to at least skim the surface and take something home that will help us tonight. Thank You for sending Your Son Jesus, because we sure were in a bad way without Him. And so we're thankful tonight for that. Now please bless this lesson in Jesus' name. And amen. Remember verse number 14 in chapter 3 here, chapter 3, verse number 14. Let me get there. I'm in chapter 2. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Just a quick reminder from last week, Paul uses the patriarch Abraham to illustrate that salvation is by grace through faith. That's because the Judaizers, by and large, were Jewish people who had come in behind the Apostle Paul and his ministry there in the churches of Galatia, and told those people, it's okay if you believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and you believe that for your justification or your salvation. But if you're going to stay saved, you're going to have to incorporate some of the works of the law into your lifestyle, or you're not going to keep yourself saved. And so Paul had to combat that. Of course, the Holy Spirit is the one that sat Paul down and gave him all these verses and words here in the book of Galatians. Now, Abraham was saved before the law was given by believing God about a coming seed through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Remember that? These promises include, there was more than one promise in the Abrahamic covenant. Several promises fall into the Abrahamic covenant. Now, those promises included an earthly family that was illustrated to Abraham by the sand of the seashore. And those promises included a spiritual family that was illustrated to Abraham by the stars of the heavens. Remember that? Look and see if you can tell the number of the stars. And that was the promise of the spiritual family that God would bring through His lineage. Now, these promises, plural, were part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. All right? And that's what Paul is talking about. And this is to remind the Galatian churches that their salvation came to them the same way the covenant came to Abraham. How did the covenant come to Abraham? Not by the works of the law. It didn't even exist. The covenant came to Abraham by promise. The promise of God. And it came by grace, through faith, without the works of the law. Without the works of the law to save them, and without the works of the law to keep them saved. That's how the promise of salvation came to the Galatian people. The same way the promise of the covenant came to Abraham. By faith, by grace, through faith. Now, look here at verse number 15. And we're going to go to the verses 15 through 18 tonight. In this section, Paul again uses Abraham, the nation of Israel, as an illustration of the New Testament Christian's relationship with Christ. And he's helping the people in Galatia, but because of preservation, these words are good for us as well. Okay? So here's what happened. God made a covenant with Abraham about the people that would descend from his and Sarah's union. Now, this covenant was a matter of grace. Abraham was not deserving of the covenant. When God made the covenant with Abraham, there was nothing in Abraham that merited God making that covenant with him. You won't read that anywhere in the Bible. You won't read anywhere where Abraham was such a man of faith and righteousness that that's why God made this covenant with him. Now, you will read in Genesis 18 that God wasn't going to keep what was going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah from Abraham, because God said, I know him. He'll command his children and his household after him. But that was an entirely different matter. I'm talking about the covenants that God made with Abraham. They were made to Abraham by grace. Abraham was undeserving. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God. And that is faith, people. And because Abraham exercised faith in God's word, God said, Abraham, here's the covenant I'm going to make with you. And here's a lot of promises in this covenant. And Abraham believed God because it was God's word. And Abraham exercised faith in God's word. Now watch it. And when Abraham exercised faith in God's word, the covenant of grace was enacted. And we are saved the same way, folks. We are saved by God's grace after we place our faith in what God says. Now look. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart. Every person in this room needs God's divine influence on our hearts. All of that is available to anybody. All of that is available to whosoever will have faith in what God says. But I'm going to tell you something. Without faith, You'll never enable God's grace to be at work in your heart. Now, there's common grace that applies to all people. You got a saved farmer and you got an unsaved farmer, and God sends them the same rain. You got common grace that applies to unsaved and saved people alike. But I'm talking about the grace of God that is available to work on your heart in the matter of salvation and sanctification and someday glorification and give you a home in heaven and write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life and lead us into a life of living for God that is full of blessing. All of that has to be accessed by faith. By faith. And brother, I tell you, there are some who just, you know, are not willing to exercise faith in what God said. And they will never, ever unlock the key of God's grace in their life. It can only be accessed by faith. That's how Abraham accessed it. That's how anybody that's been saved in this day and age accessed it. It's accessed by faith. God's great big work of grace, all ready to go, but the door has to be unlocked by exercising faith in what God says. And brother, that's why the Word of God is so vitally important in the matter of salvation. You give people the Word of God. You give people what God said about salvation. People are sinners, and they owe a debt of sin, and the wage of sin is eternal separation from God forever in the place the Bible calls hell. But Jesus came to pay that debt so man wouldn't have to, and He was buried to prove that He was dead, and He rose again to prove that He was God. And if you'll put your faith in the finished work of Christ, it opens the door of God's grace to go to work in your heart and in your life, okay? And so it's all enacted by faith. Now, look at verse number 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. In other words, he's going to talk about how it is between human beings. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now, Paul says, look, you take in the world of human beings. If two men sit down and they make a covenant together, and it's confirmed, maybe we'd use the word notarized or signed or whatever. It's all legitimate, okay? You've got a covenant, a testament, between two men that is all notarized and legitimate. It cannot be changed. You can't add to it, and you can't take away from it. He said that's how it works between men. Two men who sit down to come up with a covenant with each other. Now, in verse 16, he's going to start talking about the covenant that God made with Abraham. You understand how a covenant works. Two men sit down, they sign an agreement, it's notarized, it's a legal document. It's done, it's settled. One man can't take away from it, the other man can't add anything to it. Now, Paul says, in the same way, that's how it was with the covenant he made with Abraham. Verse 16. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Look at that plural. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Now, the promises that were in this covenant were made to Abraham and his seed. Notice the promises are plural, but the seed is singular. Do you see that in verse 16? Promises is plural. Seed, and to thy seed which is Christ. Okay, so the promises are plural. The seed is singular. This promise, these promises in these covenants were not made to Ishmael and his descendants, even though Ishmael was the seed of Abraham. Ishmael was the seed of Abraham. He was the result of Abraham and Hagar's union, where Abraham got ahead of God and stepped out of God's will. And we're still dealing with that mess today over in the Middle East. But none of the promises of the Abrahamic covenant were made to Ishmael. I'm sorry, they have no claim to the land. No claim to the land. Because it was not made to Ishmael. Now, I want you to notice the seed is singular, okay? Now, the promise was not made to Ishmael, even though they were and are the seed of Abraham. And this promise in verse 16 is the promise of a spiritual people that would come through only one of Abraham's seed, and that seed was Christ. You see it at the end of the verse. And to thy seed which is Christ. Now in verse 16, he's talking about the promise of a spiritual people. A spiritual people. The spiritual people, the promise of the spiritual people wouldn't come through Isaac or Jacob or any of the other. It would come through the descendant who would come. Jesus Christ. Through that one person, this spiritual seed, spiritual people would be developed. And it was talking about Jesus Christ here. And this was a promise based on God's grace. And it was a promise believed by Abraham. He believed it because God said it. Now, hang with me. Bear with me. We're going somewhere wonderful through this, but it's going to take me a minute to get there. So just hang with me, okay? Now look at verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. All right? Here's a promise that God made to Abraham as a part of the covenant. One of these days, a seed is going to come from your lineage, and through that seed, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed, and that seed was Jesus Christ. Now he says in verse 17, 430 years after that covenant was made with Abraham, God gave the law to Moses. And Moses gave the law to the children of Israel. Let me ask you a question, folks. What did they do with it? Did they obey it? Or did they break it? They broke it. They broke the law. But the fact that they broke the law did not invalidate the covenant of grace that God made with Abraham and Israel concerning Jesus Christ 430 years previous. So here's God giving the covenant to Abraham. And in this covenant is the promise that one of his descendants someday is this Jesus Christ, and through that seed, the whole families of the earth are going to be blessed. 430 years later, God gives the law to the children of Israel. They don't keep it. They break it. But God said, just because you broke the law, it didn't annul or disannul the covenant that I had made with Abraham 430 years previous. You understand that? Okay, you with me? All right. Now, and we're going somewhere with this. Look at verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law. Now, inheritance, that's another one of the promises that was a part of the covenant. What was the inheritance? That was the land of Canaan. For if the inheritance, the land of Canaan, be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So he said, if this promise of the promised land was only good if the law was kept, then the promised land would become a matter of works. The promise that you'll move into a land someday, if it depended on the law being kept, then it would become a matter of works. It would not be a matter of promise, but of works. But the Bible says that God made this covenant to Abraham by promise. And you can read in Genesis 12 and 13 and 15 and 17, all those promises that were a part of God's covenant with Abraham. And you know what? 430 years later, He gave Israel the law and they broke it. But the breaking of the law did not invalidate the earthly people promise or the spiritual people promise. God's promises to Abraham and Israel about the land and about Jesus Christ were good promises, unconditional, because God promised it. That's what he's saying here. Are you all with me? Okay. My mind, my brain is so muddled. All I can do is hope I'm making sense tonight. Okay? So, he gets the promise in the promises in the covenant. Earthly people, spiritual people. Earthly people are going to inherit a land. And a seed is going to come, and a spiritual people through whom all nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Well, folks, they didn't move into the land of Canaan the next day. They don't get in the land of Canaan until the book of what? Joshua. Oh. Unless somebody said it, I didn't hear it. Okay, Joshua. That's when they got in the land of Canaan. That's the last year. 430 years after he makes these covenants, he gives Israel the law. And God said, and I never gave Israel the law as a matter of condition on the promises. That wasn't a matter of you obey this or you're not going to go into the land. You obey this, or Jesus will not come. That promised seed will not come. No, He gave those promises to Abraham unconditionally based on His Word. Now, here's the application. Because all of this is a picture for New Testament believers. It was a picture for those in the churches in Galatia. And it's a picture for you and me. And here it is. Just like God did with Israel, He made a covenant of grace with you and me through Jesus Christ. And we are saved by grace through faith and nothing else. Our salvation depends on what Jesus did, not what we do. Our salvation depends on His faithfulness, not ours. And as Israel did, now watch it, as Israel did after receiving the covenant, we too sin after we get saved. Right? Israel was given this covenant. Abraham was given this covenant. And then 430 years later, here came the law, and Israel broke the law. Here you and I are. We are promised eternal life through the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And after we believe and receive like Abraham did, we, like Israel did, sin. We sin against God. And as it did with Israel, our disobedience will bring us into God's chastisement. But as it was with Israel, our disobedience does not invalidate His covenant of grace with us. In other words, I don't lose my salvation because I sin after I get saved. Now, the devil bothers people with that. The devil works on people with that. I tell you what Israel found out. Israel found out that God does discipline when His laws are ignored. They were scattered from the land of promise. And truth of the matter is, folks, they are still scattered today. Now, more and more of them are coming home. But they're still scattered today. But even though they disobeyed and God scattered them, they are still God's covenant people. Their disobedience did not void God's covenant. And our sin, after we get saved, does not void our salvation. That's what he's saying here. Our disobedience to the commands of God can bring His discipline upon us. But never will He break His promise of eternal life with us. Our salvation does not depend on us keeping the law. If it did, it would be a matter of works. Just like God says, okay, here's the land. I've given you promise of the land. And then He gives them the law. And they have to keep it to make the land theirs. If they had to keep the law to make the land theirs, it's not a matter of promise. It's a matter of works. And if I have to live a sinless life to the commands of God after I get saved, it's not a matter of the promise of God. It's a matter of works. And that's what was going on in Galatia. They were claiming that they had received the promise of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. But they were going to have to hang on to some of the works of the law to make sure God's promise was good. And God's telling them, my promise is good because I said it. My promise is good because I made it. And there's none higher than me. And there's none that I swear by. I am on the top of the list, friend. I'm at the top of the totem pole. I'm at the head of the food chain. All right? There's none greater than God. And my promise of eternal life to you is the same as it was to my promise to Israel of a land and a people. I made it. And you know what? I didn't expect you to keep the law, not expect you to live sinless after you get saved. I made the promise to you. It's a matter of promise. It's not a matter of works. That's what he's saying here. Our salvation is good in spite of the fact that we sin. Just like the promises of God to Israel were good after they broke the law. This is what the Galatian Christians had bought into. You know, they were saved by grace through faith, but they had to keep the law. And Paul is writing and saying, no, you're all confused. to go all the way back to the Old Testament when God made the covenant with Abraham, made all those promises, and then gave them the law. He didn't give them the law as a matter of condition to go into the land. That's not why He gave... We'll look at that in just a minute. That's not why He gave them the law. And God gave us the promise of salvation, friend. And you know what? I do want to say this. I do want to say... here's an illustration. If I tell my son, I am giving you a new baseball glove, and it is yours free and clear. But I want you to understand that over the years to come, you cannot allow even one micro-midget piece of dirt to ever be on the floor of your room all the while you live with us. And if you do that, you can keep the glove. That glove is no longer a gift given, but a reward earned. And salvation is not a reward earned. Salvation is the full and free gift of God based on His promises. And those promises are good and unconditional. And I want to say tonight to the kids. Kids, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you are under the promise of God that you have been given eternal life. And you know what? You're going to sin. You're going to disobey Dad. You're going to disobey Mom. You're going to say some things you shouldn't say. And that's going to happen after you get saved. But that doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Because God's gift is a gift, not a reward earned. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm making any sense tonight or not. It's not a gift. It's a gift given, not a reward earned. I want to say to the teenagers in this room tonight, because Satan works on people with this. If you came to Jesus Christ by faith and trusted in His death and resurrection to save you, you are given the promise of eternal life, and it was the God of heaven that made that promise. And you ought to do your best to live right, and you ought to do your best to obey Dad and Mom and obey the Lord, but you're going to fall short. But God's promise of eternal life was not conditioned upon your obedience after your faith in Christ. His promise was based on your faith in Christ. And I say to the adults here the same thing. You know, I think there are some people in life who, because of their emotional makeup, they seem to struggle a little bit more with the assurance of their salvation than others do. And I'm not down on people who struggle with the assurance of their salvation, but sometimes it's you get under the guilt of sin. People, if our salvation was conditioned upon full obedience to the law, after we trusted Christ, I lost mine today. I lost mine about 7 o'clock this morning going through the TSA line. I'm sorry, but I did. And I'm not proud of it. But they wiped my hands and then they said, okay, you're going to have to go. And I'm kidding you, 30 minutes later, I got through security. They broke down every piece of my luggage, and it said firearm. I hadn't touched a gun. And then when they take you, how are you this morning? Well, I'm going to tell you how I am. I don't feel good. I'm tired. And this is a bunch of junk. But I didn't quite say it that way. Sorry, I didn't told you about that. And God convicted me afterward. I didn't use profanity, but it was not nice. It was, what do you call it? Slang? It wasn't profanity, but it was close. And they took me into a room, and patted me down. Everything is just, I said, look it. How many men like me have blown up planes? Oh. So if God's promise of eternal life to me was based on my faith in Jesus Christ plus complete obedience, I'm in trouble. But His promise to me of eternal life was based on the finished work of Christ. Plus nothing and minus nothing. And I'm not saying that, oh boy, great, now I can just go out and live like I want to and stay saved. No, the very fact that it is unconditional moves our hearts to say, God, help us to live for You and to be what we ought to be. It does not mean that we give no heed to the commands of God. I want to tell you something, a testimony of salvation that a person gives and then that person shows no desire to please God at all by keeping His commands, I call that person's testimony into question. I've said it before, folks. I got saved like a lot of people did in my era with a lot of baggage. And not all that baggage dropped off immediately. And I revisited some of those things, especially in the area of rock and roll music. So I can't say that I never went back to some of that stuff, but I can honestly say that I never enjoyed it like I did when I was lost. I never did. There was something inside of me that said, this is wrong. This is wrong. And I had never heard that before. And it wasn't something, it was someone. So a person to say, oh yeah, I'm saved, and there's no desire to please God. None. No concern for God's commandments. Yeah, well, you know, it was an unconditional promise, so I can kind of live like I want to. Faith without works is dead. So it's a fine line here. It is an unconditional promise based on what God said. And when a person comes to Christ in faith, trusting in His shed blood, His burial, His resurrection, then he's saved. And then after we get saved, we break the law. We lie. We disobey. We're selfish. We lose our temper. And the devil crawls up on our shoulders and says, well, you lost your salvation. And God says, No. Just like I made a promise to Abraham, and then 430 years later, I gave them the law, and they broke it. Those promises were still good. And those promises are still good, folks. The Jews, the land still belongs to the Jews. And there's still a spiritual people being made up through what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. And the law was broken by Israel when God gave it to them. And look, real salvation by the promise of God, comes through faith in what God said about the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrificial death on Calvary. Now, after that, we ought to want to please Him. But you know what? When we fall short, thank God, we don't lose our salvation. The promise is still good. Now, look down at verse 24, 25. Look at what it says here. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The law was never given with the intention that it be kept. The law was never given to help make the promise good. The law was given to show us how far from the righteousness of God we are. And then to point us to Christ. The law is to beat us into a place of absolute hopelessness and helplessness. I broke that law. 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 And if I didn't break those laws, I'm guilty of them anyway because I broke this one. And down, 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 down. And after the law just puts you all the way down, prostrate, on your face, helpless and hopeless, showing you how far from the righteousness of God you are, then the law says, look to Jesus. Look to Christ. That's why the law was given. The law was not given as a conditional part of the promises that God made to Abraham. And the law was not given so that conditionally to you and me so that we could make sure that we keep our salvation. Free salvation is the promise of God. And God gave us that promise knowing full well that we would sin after being saved. And that's why He made provision for us to come to Him and confess it. And the blood of Jesus Christ is faithful to cleanse us every time we confess our sin and keep us in a good relationship with Christ. The fact that we sin after salvation does not invalidate God's promise of eternal life. Eternal life is a matter of God's promise, and God cannot deny Himself. He cannot deny Himself. Can't do it. So that's what Paul is teaching here to these people who had been trusted Christ as Savior, but then were running back to try to keep the law, keeping the law to keep themselves saved. God said, "No, no, you missed it. You missed it. I gave my promises to Abraham. Then I gave the law and they broke it, but my promises were still good. And my promise of eternal life to you when you trust Christ is good after you get saved, even when you sin against me. I want the fellowship to be good. I want the relationship to be right. I want us to be close. But I made a promise to you. And God never goes back on His promise." Now, I don't know. The devil uses other things in people's minds to cause them to doubt their salvation. But if you're battling with whether or not you're saved because you lost your temper or because you had a setback in some sin and it grieved you, friend, that's a good sign. That's a good sign that it grieved you. It's a good sign that afterwards you thought to yourself, "Boy, that wasn't right. That wasn't good." That's a good sign. God's promise of eternal life was not conditional on you obeying God uninterrupted and unbroken the rest of your life. God's promise was based on the fact that He made a promise. And God can't lie. Aren't you glad for the promise of free salvation? That don't make us want to sin. That makes us want to live as close to God as we can, I would think. Let's stand together. Thank you for bearing through this with me tonight. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your Spirit because He guides us into all truth and opens the mind of our understanding and helps us grab a little bit of comprehension about biblical matters. And it's sure not the preacher or teacher, because tonight, Lord, I sure muddled through this. But God, in through it all, I hope it was evident tonight that You are a God of Your Word. And when You made a promise to Abraham, it was not conditional upon Israel's obedience. It was a good promise. And when You made the promise of eternal life to those who would trust in Your Son, Jesus, it was not conditional. It was a good promise. And Father, I rejoice in that tonight. And I want to live for You. And Lord, You know today was not a good day. And I had to ask You to help me and forgive me for some things. But I'm glad that my salvation was never on thin ice. I'm so thankful for that. And I don't want to live tomorrow like I live today. I want to live a better day for You and serve You, Lord, and make it a better day. But thank You that our salvation is written clear, full and free, based on Your promise. Help us to live for You. I pray in Jesus' name. Listen, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've never been saved, God's grace is waiting to go to work in your heart and life in a specific way in the matter of salvation. But it has to be accessed by faith. You've got to believe God. You've got to believe what God said. And you can. And God will help you. And if you're not saved, I would invite you to come and trust Christ tonight. And if you are saved, it's not a license to sin. It's not a liberty to live away from God and still have eternal life. It ought to be a great motivation for us to live holy and clean before the Lord, because His promise is His promise. All right, ladies, play the music and we'll have a brief invitation.